This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thanks again, Randy. And on this Thursday morning edition of the Ag Show, we'll talk with Heather Hampton Nodal, who was recently vice chair over the last year on a working group for the advancement of rural broadband across America. She sat down with me yesterday, Wednesday, to discuss the group's work and the adoption of the group's ideas for the FCC.
Well, in 2019, I was notified by the Federal Communication Commission that I would be essentially chairing, in title I was vice chair, but in action, chairing a working group called Accelerating Broadband Deployment as part of a Precision Agriculture Task Force. So, Gabe, you kind of nailed the context here in the opening in terms of agriculture. How do we reach, this was one of the questions our working group members asked in our very first meeting, is our objective to reach the agricultural population? And I said, no, it's to reach the last acre. And fortunately, the chairman in title, he's on the main task force, he and I had already talked about that. And we're like, no, this is a last acre proposal, and that's how we need to focus our efforts. There have been a lot of difficult discussions, and we were told throughout the last year, because we actually officially met for the first time about a year ago, the end of March of 2020. And we met virtually. We've met virtually the entire time, every 2 weeks, except we missed two, one in August and one in December, Christmas time. But we did come to a report, and we have recommendations A through O, from our working group in this first round, and that was just approved by the full task force within the last 2 weeks. It took me about an hour and a half to present that to them. We had a few minor edits, and they adopted it. But we can talk a little bit about what some of those recommendations look like, and if you want, a little bit about the process to get there, because it's interesting.
Sure, and of course, you know, this isn't, like you said, it's not an overnight process. It took, no. You know, well over a year. So, go ahead and that all go together.
We really were starting from scratch, and other than the FCC had guidance provided in the 2018 Farm Bill that said this needs to happen and they need to consider these things. So we had a charge or a charter to say this is your playing field, so to speak. And fortunately, we had several working group members who were willing to interpret that pretty broadly because there was active pushback. You can read between the lines, internal politics, trying to say stay in your lane, right? This is just about precision agriculture. And we're saying, well, the reality is for precision agriculture to work, it is inextricably linked to broadband level, at a minimum, service to decision-making headquarters, whether that is a farmhouse or an ag retailer in Idaho. Again, being aware of geographical considerations and use cases, it's really been a fascinating and an informative journey. And meanwhile, there were three other working groups, one in data and mapping, one in connectivity and future needs, and then one about adoption and jobs. So these other working groups were meeting as well, and we would have we had a few group meetings with the leadership, and then our working group made an extra effort to have a full group meeting with their leaders and so on. So a lot of learning, a lot of additional interviews. So I'm learning about tribal lands, interviewing the Chickasaw Nation, on a call with the Northwest Telco in Montana about the Blackfeet Nation and their experience, talking with somebody from Bureau of Indian Affairs. I mean, it was really talking with cybersecurity, Department of Homeland Security, and somebody who'd been in naval intelligence for 13 years, you know, about, okay, so what are our cybersecurity considerations if we look at deploying across every acre in the U.S.? And they'd set a timeline of by 2025, which, frankly, is unrealistic. And in the meantime, we have this process within FCC of a Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, or RDOF, that was going on. And they changed the rules literally midstream, like last June or July. Wireless can deliver, theoretically, limitless data. But in reality, wireless has thresholds, as we know. And it's also influenced by proximity, range, curvature of the earth, trees, even flocks of geese. You know, I've lived in the wireless environment now for close to 20 years with different providers. Currently, our current one's really good, pretty solid. But before that, not so much. But we're getting this kind of feedback to say, all right, we're learning as we go. But in the meantime, FCC changed the rules of the game for this massive amount of funding that was just announced in December. And what we saw out of a couple billion dollars was $885 million going to one company for satellite-based service. And the other thing that they had structured into the program was it was to deliver to population, not area. So if you have an opportunity to read the report we put together, we lead off with any effort to deliver broadband should be based on area, especially if it's a rural program. You're looking at USDA funding and FCC funding in their high-cost program, which is what we pay for in that universal service fund on our telephone bills, okay? That sort of stuff. We really need to be talking about reaching the area because there are, I think, more than 1.1 million, I'm forgetting my unit right now, if it's not square miles and it's not census tracts, but it's measured through the 477 data that companies have to submit to FCC, but there is a lot of unserved, not just underserved, but unserved area in the United States. This has been a really neat thing to see happen in real time over the last year. U.S. Department of Agriculture, through its Ag Research Service, we have a guy on our working group, has been formulating different kind of data mapping tools to be able to see visually where is this stuff. Because FCC had some reports, but there now we've got more data coming into the mix to get more granular, as they call it, so more detailed, right? So it's wonderful that we have people who care trying to help solve the problem by shedding more light on it. And when you see that visual, it's a very high impact statement about, okay, you really want to deploy well and accurately, then we need to start getting targeted about where these funds go. Okay, again, you've got some theoretical things, you have some preliminary use studies, but what will our coverage be? I don't think Central Illinois is probably going to benefit from that one.
That was something, too, when it comes to targeting this money. A lot of those broadband maps were flawed. A lot of the maps need work, and as you said, you're getting more data in day after day, but originally those maps were flawed. And another thing, too, that this might be the only issue that the exiting administration and the current administration kind of see eye to eye on. During the Trump administration, they were all about trying to get rural broadband, and that seems to be a similar priority for the Biden administration. And I personally believe it might be the only issue that both administrations agreed on, and it seems like they're continuing the effort, and it doesn't seem like there's going to be much change. Maybe more of an aggressive approach with the new administration, but I think that eventually that's how it would have been, regardless of who was in control at in Washington.
It is true to say that this is access to data is colorblind in terms of your political party, your affiliation, where you live, how you work, what you do. This is something that binds us all together, and the need for it. We've seen it in education and healthcare. The last year has definitely worked to the benefit of those who would say we are willing to push for and ready to build out better telecom. And right now, it's interesting, FCC just announced, I think today or yesterday morning, they now have an opportunity for people to tell your own story. But ironically, it's through a website. But you can go to this FCC.gov, and then it's /broadband data, and enter your information as far as the reliability or affordability of the type of internet you receive. Because, once again, you hit it on the head in terms of the existing reporting process that companies have to comply with. They can claim that they serve an entire census tract. So it may look like a zip code. In our part of the world, that may be an entire zip code. In other parts of the world, that may be several little tracts within. Okay. But they can claim it if they only serve one location, and they can claim that whole tract. Now, that is a huge part of the problem when it comes to delivering rural broadband. And I even hesitate to use the word broadband because, to me, that's such a limiting term. But yet it's one that everybody can rally around, right? It's been around long enough. People realize that means I'm supposed to get quality internet, in theory. Another part of our recommendations were what's considered that internet threshold now. One was proof of service needs to be based on area. Okay, so it's not just about one location within that census tract, but you've got to prove you can meet 50% or more. But offline, you and I had a conversation essentially about spectrum. And so when we talk about 5G going forward, a few concerns here. One is it's most likely that 5G infrastructure will be built on existing infrastructure, so 3G, 4G. I don't know about you, but whenever I've called my cell phone company and I said to them, why am I continuing to get these dropped calls? I've got this super phone that I just paid a ton of money for, it seems like, you know, like what in the world are we paying this money for? And we know what we pay every month. And they say, well, we recommend you drop your smartphone down to 2G because of where you live, okay? Now, if we're building out 5G on existing infrastructure, what does that bode for rural America? It doesn't bode well. So some of our recommendations, and we're going to continue meeting, are really going to get to this point. And again, we got pushback from FCC saying, stay in your lane. And we're saying, wait a second, this is a six-lane road here. So no, okay, because we have to have this build-out and this capability to help run precision agriculture. It's only going to become more and more cloud-based, okay? And there's no cloud up here for data if you can't research it, if you can't search it and reach it. So that's one thing. The other thing that you and I talked about a little bit offline was this notion of spectrum, not just allocation, but enforcement. So as existing satellite feeds start to butt heads against some of these 5G licenses in terms of how those frequencies, and again, I'm not a tech head, but I know enough just from trying to make two-way radios work, and even wireless routers, I think more and more people are seeing that, along with wireless fixed line of sight stuff and more cell phones, that there's more and more kind of butting heads and bleeding into each other's spectrum. And that can be a real security issue for personal information, for company information, for government information. So one of our recommendations was to have active enforcement of it, because right now there's not much. And there's a whole category of unlicensed spectrum that I started to learn a little bit about, and community-based CBRS is like that bottom-of-the-barrel sort of stuff, right? But yet it has so much implication for things like EMS, emergency services, and it just all this stuff is so tied together for the viability of rural communities. So, again, we've got a lot of recommendations, but I'm trying to hit some of the high points that I think a lot of people might relate to and say, oh, okay, I'm starting to get it now. This isn't just about me being able to live stream TV. This really does tie to every aspect of our day-to-day.
Really, in my mind, this broadband reaching the last mile is almost how rural electric was in the 40s and the 50s, you know. It kind of seems that, you know, that system worked, you know, why can't we model after how rural electrification worked? You know, it just seems to be the same way, because isn't that what electricity did 60, 70 years ago?
Yes, and that's, again, one of our recommendations was to really look at that cooperative model, either existing co-ops and better enabling them. There are several programs and incentives in place, like through the Rural Utility Service, again, on the USDA side of the house, so to speak. But part of our role was to really get the FCC staff kind of up to speed. There are other players out here besides just the lobbyists that you're aware of, who you see on a regular basis. You know, the times we live in now, I think it's so easy to be complacent because people can get so much through that cell phone. And it seems like there's a willingness to say, yeah, I can do without a little bit of service as I'm driving down a certain trail south of Coffeen, just for a little bit, because I know it's going to come back in a few minutes. But they forget about the 10 houses they just passed who are permanently stuck in that veil.
Creek bottom.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're stuck in the creek bottom where you never get signal
exactly.
in a creek bottom.
Which is incredibly picturesque, mm-hmm. but man, it'd be nice to be able to still be informed while you're in that part of the world.
And then, too, it makes me think also, you know, you've got a hunter in the woods, and he doesn't have cell phone service, and he gets injured or hurt or needs
right.
help.
Falls out of his tree stand.
Yes.
Exactly.
And
to a friend. Yeah.
Has no service because he's out in one of those right. picturesque areas, but there's no service.
Right.
And that also becomes an issue, at least on a radio side, on the fire department side. You know, if you're not within, really, if you're not almost face-to-face with somebody, you still can't get a hold of them on a radio. Right. So I can see where folks are like, well, this is just going to help precision agriculture. Well,
no.
It's going to kill multiple birds with one stone.
Yeah.
It's going to do precision agriculture. It's going to help the kids that live in a small community that doesn't have the opportunity to have that good internet. It'll
right.
help the small businesses stay in the small towns and grow.
Exactly.
It'll do a lot.
Right. So whether it's their e-commerce and where they could be, you know, potentially marketing their businesses, when you bring up the business example, because we've talked about youth and that value, I think the health care and emergency services piece cannot be understated in any form or fashion. It just helps us all be more connected and more capable to get things done. So, yeah, hopefully this will yield benefits. Of course, none of it's short-term. It's all long-term, but we'll get there.
And then, of course, we've got a farm bill coming up, and there could be even more possibilities of increasing the money to go towards broadband in that new farm bill.
There are. There have been discussions and proposals even related to, you know, stepping outside rural development and rural utility service and looking even at FSA. So one of our recommendations was, could FSA, or, you know, asking the question, could it potentially provide a loan resource to some of these, you know, retailers or service providers, or even a farmer who wanted to build out not just for their own farm, but say it's a tower construction or something to help improve broadband delivery in their area, okay? Because they already have, you know, they have the setup, you have the infrastructure here with FSA where it is much more out in the rural communities than some of the other USDA agencies. You know, like physically, with the relationships and the manpower, and it's really an asset to have that. There's also talk about, okay, in terms of adoption of precision agriculture technology, maybe we need to look at, because it's so key to sustainability, if you're serious, I mean, like really serious about the notion of how do we be environmentally, socially, and economically sustainable, then precision agriculture really starts to make sense.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the other goals of the current administration is to reduce carbon emissions, and the only,
right.
and in a way to be more... to be better with that is precision agriculture. So
right, that's
you
how
can't
we,
have one without the other,
right,
it seems right now.
To track the data and so on. And so some people are saying, well, maybe then NRCS as we look at conservation programs. So there's really, when you talk about the next farm bill, there are a lot of different touch points where this topic is going to be brought up. Now, will it be enacted? We'll find out in a year and a half.
And again, that was Heather Hampton Nodal of Fillmore, the chairman of the Working Group to Advance Broadband Across Rural America. And that wraps up Ag News here on this Thursday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Thursday morning, March 25th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.